Blog Talk Radio.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sometimes she's here, you can take a break. I'm hot air balloon that could go to space. I don't care, baby, by the way, because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof, because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth,
because I'm happy.
Clap along if you know what happiness is to you,
because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do. Here come back.
Show is brought to you by a group on All Poetry called Late Night Poets, and we have anthologies available on Amazon, so feel free to check those out as they help support these shows. That said, tonight's show is based on a contest that Louie Wildub and myself ran, and it's called Love and Laughter, and it says, "We love laughing, it makes life so much better." That's the prompt for tonight's show contest pieces, and we have some open poetry as well. So, looking forward to tonight, and I'm going to get to it. Okay, so I'm going to drop the first link into the group, and then I'll check the phone lines. Okay. All right, we've got a caller here. Hello, and welcome to the show, there you are, Doug.
Hi, Gray.
How are you?
I'm fine, just listening to you tell people that we're having a contest we both run, and then you couldn't remember what it was. You had to go look it up.
Hey, you're too funny.
Okay. It's going to be a good show.
So, yeah, I agree. All right, so the first piece is up. Would you mind reading it?
Mm-hmm. And this was written by Matt Jameson, and he wants people to know that no spiders were hurt in the making of this poem. And his poem is titled The Unexpectedly Clean Spider. I opened up my washing machine and found a spider within. I don't think he read the instructions and had misunderstood the spin. And now his web is all messed up and is rather dizzy. His legs are all tangled, and he's soapy and all fizzy. I let him out, and with a shout, he scuttled to the ceiling. I doubt he will repeat the cycle, judging by his squealing. I felt alarmed about the drama, but he tells me he is fine. He's smirking and giggling now, pegged on the washing line. I liked it.
That was a great read. Yeah, it was a pretty funny poem. I really liked his flow and his rhythm to the poem. It was a great, great laughing poem. What did you think, Lee?
Mm-hmm. Well, I enjoyed the whole thing. I enjoyed the storytelling. I enjoyed the rhyme, and I enjoyed it from the beginning to the end. I never read anything like that, so I enjoyed it a lot.
Oh, that's a great comment, Lou. Thank you. Okay. Sorry, I'm just posting in the group here. I'll be right there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. Grabbing the next link here. And this is by Eva Paluzzi. It's titled, My Toad Lover. My Toad Lover. The toad I met at spring's first lukewarm day sat enthroned in the middle of the bike road's sunny gray ribbon and was just warming up all his winter paralyzed body parts. 2 pounds of warty reptile evolution within marvelously ugly skin. Long since extinct dinosaurs observed me through his frog eyes as I stopped uphill to greet the olive drab living fossil. What if you were my hexed prince and a kiss would reveal whether you've been cast a spell over? Mused this fairy tale behind my 60-something years. 300 million springs of the Belogany took a sunbath before me and didn't return my words, not even a single wink. What if this was a fable, trap? It's just a kiss that's needed to turn me into your green, warty-skinned toad lover. Mocked the same tales, which version inside me. And into the wayside ditch I pushed my camouflage prints, left a bike run him over. Adieu, sweetie. Wave farewell to my inner fairy, and my witch version told me, hurry to work, you silly.
Yeah, it was.
I liked it. It was well written, well received, and I thought it was a wonderful little spot in somebody's day where they see this toad and have these thoughts. Excellent, right, Eva? What did you think, Lee?
Well, I really enjoyed this storytelling, you know. She says that she took several pictures of this frog, but I'm looking at it, and it looks like he's hugging the asphalt. He's so flat to the road that it's funny. And then you read her taking pictures of him. And then, of course, you know, we think of, you know, I guess it's just a poet's thing. We start imagining stories and thinking of things we've heard in the past. And she was thinking about, you know, possibly kissing this toad, but not me.
Yeah.
I'd take a picture of him, but I don't think I'd want to kiss him. I'd have to tell him I do also, but I'm glad that she moved him out of the way because, you know, people, you know, I'm glad she moved him out of the way.
Yeah. Okay, I've got a caller here. Hello, area code 954. Who's calling, please?
Hey, guys. It's been a while. It's Andrew.
Hi, Andrew. Good to hear your voice.
Hi. Likewise. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Absolutely. Happy New Year. And so are you part of Late Night Poets, Andrew?
It's Andrew.
It's Andrew Brentman.
Oh, okay. Sorry. It's been a long time. I haven't heard your voice.
Yeah, it has. Yeah, it's been a really long time, and I apologize for that. But I wanted to
welcome back
with you guys.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you.
Glad to have you. Okay, would you mind reading this poem by David Meyerhoff, please, Andrew?
Absolutely. It's called Belly Laugh. It hit me square in the pit of the stomach. A simple phrase directed at me, a mere drip from the faucet of language, but ever so deftly placed, leading the camel to drink, the moon to shine, and the ox to dance. Timing simplicity and location, one job out to the ordinary, as if a clown emerged from hiding to do magic tricks at a funeral, lending mirth to my solemn musings. From a place of my conscious touch arose a sudden explosion of jocular laughter, bordering on the ribald. Animals went into hiding. Hotlines buzzed with demands for information. The air itself gasped for breath at such an unusual display of bodily function. Every few hours that followed, I experienced aftershocks with cracking smiles on their face and the cough of the gusher not able to contain, the oil shooting from below the surface. I laid low until the whole thing blew over. End poem.
That was a great read. Andrew, excellent read. But, you know, the write is, it's got excellent flow and rhythm to it. You read it wonderfully. But timing, simplicity, and location lent drama to the ordinary as a clown emerged from hiding to do magic tricks at a funeral, lending mirth to my solemn musings. You know, you can picture this all going on in his head. And I thought it was fabulously written. What did you think, Lee?
Well, I think that Andrew did such a fabulous job in reading this. I enjoyed this poem. It was unusual, you know, but, you know, it just, where he says, from a place out of my subconscious touch, arose a sudden explosion of jocular laughter bordering on the Reddit. You know, it's just that when, I think sometimes stress, when we're stressed out and then we finally get away from everything and we look back at the day and what's gone on, you know, I can see him actually bursting out in laughter.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Leah. And Andrew, what did you think?
Well, that was whimsical and funny. It was just nice to read a lighthearted poem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll have a lot of that tonight. So let me grab the next poem here. And if you wouldn't mind, please, Leah.
Okay.
When you see it. There we go.
Okay, I just got it. I just saw Laurent. I don't know if he's calling. You might want to check the line, see if he's online.
Yeah, I will.
All right. Do you want me to start reading?
Just one sec, please. And okay. I'll get to the phone. Yeah, he's here.
Yay.
Hello and welcome, Laurent.
Good evening, good evening. So sorry I'm late.
That's okay.
I'm
hi, Laurent. Good to have
hi,
you.
Everybody.
Happy welcome to the show.
Thank
welcome,
you.
Welcome,
welcome. Glad to hear your voice,
and,
Lou.
Good to hear you too. I miss you guys. I missed Andrew. So it's going to be a great evening. I can't wait to read all these poems, see what people thought was funny. And this is titled Melody of the... Well, you know what? Since I've already read, would you like Lawrence to read next since he just called in? Because it would be his turn to read.
Sure.
No offense, Gray. Okay, Laurent?
I will be happy to.
Thank you.
Melody of the Jackasses? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
By Bluesman. In the light of the day, he shows his ass, testosterone leading the way. With the coming of a setting sun, she begins to whinny and bray. She plays on her wiles to gain his smiles as she leads him to bed by the nose. The jackass finally surrenders to the scent of a delicate rose. Then the head games start, pushing them apart. A line is drawn in their bed of sand, biting his lips. Under sheets he does slips, kissing her ass to get what he can. With the coming of the morning light, they reset their clock again. Prisoners of their hormones, the oxymoron of women and men. End poem.
Yeah, that was fabulous read, Lauren. And I really liked the poem. It's lighthearted and it's funny. It's also engaging, you know, it pulls you along through the drama and into the light of day. But I thought it was wonderfully read, Lauren, and fabulously written. What did you think, Lee?
I knew lots of these jackasses. Uh-oh, did I stun everybody? I love the way Laurent read this. I really like this poem because, I mean, this is life. This is life for some people. So I started laughing when he read this. She plays on her wild to gain a smile. Because, I mean, seriously, woman is going to say no. The jackass finally surrenders to the scent of a delicate rose. Yep. I thought he nailed that stanza.
Absolutely.
Good read, Laurent.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lou. And Andrew, what did you think?
I thought it was funny. It was kind of like, you know, the greaser type people. You know, they're all, it's like the Fonzie, but not cool. You know, like that.
Yeah. Great comment, Lauren. I mean, Andrew. And Lauren, what did you think?
Well, I've got to say, when I read the poem, I said, I wonder what the topic is for tonight. And then I looked down at the bottom right of the contest this poem has been in, and I saw Love, Laughter. And quite without meaning to, I wrote a poem that's going to fit in tonight quite well. Now, this particular poem by Bluesman, it shows me his wit. For instance, the light of day shows his ass. Now, one would think that was his behind. But then when he says, with the coming of the setting sun, she begins to whinny and bray. I doubt that it was his buttocks that were braying. It was his ass or the woman. So in this case, there's some clever wordplay. Now, the battle between the two of them is absolutely charming. I love the oxymoron of women and men, and there is so much humor in that one cannot deny it. And this poem is very funny.
Okay, copy, Lauren. Thank you. Okay, Lou, you're up, please.
Okay. Oh, is this by Adrian? You got it up already?
Yeah.
Thank you. This is by Adrian 41062, and it is titled Sing, Smile, Happy. No matter what my mouth is doing, my heart is smiling deep inside. I always sing some happy lyrics. I'm contented with a smile so wide. It takes less muscle to smile. It's a waste of time to frown. A smile as big as a Cheshire cat, you can never bring me down. End poem.
I liked it. It was short and witty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can picture the Cheshire Cat's very big smile, and, you know, that carries you through, and nobody can bring you down with that smile. So I thought it was beautifully written. What did you think, Andrew?
I thought it was nice. Once again, it's nice to see a happy poem. It doesn't have to be a big one. It just has to be, you know, content and, you know, well-meaning, and I really just liked it.
Thank you, Andrew. And Laura, what did you think?
Reminded me a little bit of Don't Worry, Be Happy, without knowing why,
mm-hmm.
really, except for the one word. But I like the first two lines. For instance, no matter what my mouth is doing, my heart is smiling deep inside. And I like the dichotomy between the mouth may be downturned, but deep inside, you're smiling, always willing to sing some happy lyrics. And, you know, the old truism, it takes less muscle to smile than it does to frown, comes true in this.
It does.
And, of course, to bring the Cheshire Cat in is well done. You can never bring me down. Well done.
That was a fantastic comment, Lauren. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to grab the next poem here. And this is by Scraps and Scribbles. And I will give this a read. Scraps and Scribbles brings you Paw to Paw Salesman. Little pigs, let me come in. Back off, Wolfie, or we'll kick your teeth in. Wolfie, who's that? I sell double glazing. And if we sprout wings, won't that be amazing? Winter is here, you need proper insulation. Back off, I say, lupus manifestation. I'm telling you, piggies, it's going to be freezing. Enough now, Wolfie, give up your teasing. Come to the door, I implore. No feckin' way. We ignore. But, piggies, it's so cold and breezy. With your mouth grape, we're quite warm. Wheezy. Fine. Fair enough. It's no bloody good. I think I'll try canvassing to let Red Riding Hood. But that was a wonderful poem. You know, it was witty and it was comical. The whole pigs and the wolf blowing your house down, but he's a sidings or a double glazed window salesman, and I thought it was quite humorous. Do you? What did you think?
You know, this was a good retelling of the three little pigs and the wolf. I really liked it when it says, enough now, Wolfie, give up your teasing. Come to the door, I implore. And it says, no freaking way. We ignore. I really enjoyed this. You did a great job in reading it.
Thank you, Lee. I appreciate it. And Andrew, what did you think?
Well, it sort of gives pigs in a blanket a whole new meaning.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a really good telling of the original story.
Absolutely. Thank you, Andrew. And Lauren, what are your thoughts?
No, this is delightful. It's about time the story of the three little pigs and the wolf was redone. I mean, we all know the ending. So he tries a different persuasive attack, selling them double glazing for insulation in the winter. Now, to me, the part of the pig sounds like it's written by an Englishman. Feck off, Wolfie, or we'll kick your teeth in. Wolfie, who's that? I sell double glazing. It's stated with such deadpanness. I do find that really funny. Feck off, I say, lupus manifestation. There's some charming wordplay in this. And the ending is great, too, because he brings in Red Riding Hood. So we have a complete rewrite of one particular tale, hoping for a rewrite in a second. Nicely done.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, yeah. Wonderful comment. Thank you, Lauren. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next poem here. And this has a sound card, so I'll play that. Yeah.
My Mittu, a poem by Laughing Soul. I had a parrot, his name was Mittu. He was a rogue, I'm telling you. Very smartly, he'd pick words fairy. Slangs you'd use very, very rarely. And when the neighbor's cat slyly approached him, he'd cause a havoc, calling her a witch in the most hilarious din. I had a beautiful cage for this little limp frisky, but to his fancy he'd perch on Dad's whiskey. I wonder if it was liquor or the model on the cover, exhibiting his flamboyant plumage in the most crazy poses, Mittu would dance like the finest showstopper. I vouch you'd never seen a more horny lover. One sunny noon, I guess he found his mate. No, not a parakeet, but an ebony black owl was his bait. And off he flew with her on his first ever date. Well, my parrot was wise to marry a singer. I'm sure they formed a band called Ringo. Didn't I tell you this at the start? My Mittu was a rogue, but with a lovesome heart. End poem.
I liked it. She did a wonderful read on that. And, you know, the poem's fantastic. You can totally picture this rogue poet out rousing the women up and having his way. And I thought it was just wonderfully written. Fantastic rhythm and flow. What did you think, Lou?
Well, I really enjoyed listening to her voice. It was the first time I heard it. And I really love her storytelling in this poem about this parrot that would take the liquor and drink it and get very frisky. Well, it says that he was a showstopper. And, of course, he ran up with the first woman he met after drinking a bit. Got a bit. I thought this was funny. It was excellent.
Thank you, Lee. And Andrew, what did you think?
I thought it was really funny, too. I liked it. I liked the way it was put together. I liked the way that she presented it. And like I said, like we said, like birds are cool to make fun of. So it was really good.
Well said. Thank you. And Lauren, what are your thoughts?
I've always wanted a parrot. They're very clever animals. And I think they do have a sense of humor. Insofar as a bird can have a sense of humor, I've seen some of them do some very strange things. When I first saw the image, I thought initially it was actually a bird laying on his back, drinking whiskey, but of course it's a bottle holder and a very clever one at that. But the entire idea of a parrot drinking whiskey and running off with another bird after the first date, I thought it was very funny. And when he says, well, my parrot was wise to marry a singer, I'm sure they formed a band called Winger. What better name for a bird band than Winger? It was very nice. Part of the charm of this piece was the amazing read with it. I really think that kind of read lent a real veracity to what she was saying. This is a great piece.
Well, there's also that story of Winston Churchill's parrot who would say F. Hitler. I think there's that story about that. So, parrot has a good sense of humor.
Thank you for the wonderful comments, everybody. Okay, Andrew, I have the next piece up, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay, it's Before Computers. Right. By Jabo UK. Before computers were the rage, we lived in a more gentle age. Debugging got fleas off your cat. A mouse was just a smallish rat. Our windows were to let in light. Construction work was on a site. Online there was where the washing was found. Offline, oh no, it's on the ground. Plug-in meant the bath is filling. On the web were spiders chilling. A log-on meant a fire we'd make. And a pop-up meant that Dad's awake. We wrote by hand with no, we wrote by hand with no emails, and trolls were just in fairy tales. We took a tablet for our pain, and where we lived was in our domain. Hacking meant that someone's coughing. We did not know what LOL meant laughing. And spam the cookies we'd eat. A server brought them to our seat. An iPad would protect our eyes, and microchips would grow our french fries. And when we went fishing, you can bet we put our fishes on the internet. End poem. Well done.
Absolutely, yeah, I liked it. I mean, she really nailed every topic that you can hit with the subject of computers, and, you know, I thought it was just crafty and witty, just fabulous, right? What did you think?
Oh, that was funny. You said witty. I've never heard you use that word before. You know, J-Bo is a master of using poetry and twisting it around to make it hilarious. She makes life funny. You know, I even with the first one, Before Computers, and that is the name of her poem. Before computers were the rage, we lived in a more gentle age. You know, and that is so true. Life has changed a lot with computers. And as we've gotten older, from where we are today compared to where we were yesterday, you know, there were no such thing as emails or anything. I mean, everything we did was with being on the telephone, where the phone was stuck to the wall and you'd have to sit to the wall to talk to somebody, or you'd have to walk, roller skate, skateboard, bike to your friend's house to give him any type of message, or any emails were folded up into notes and stuck into the locker crack. So that'll give you an idea how old we are. Enjoyable, and you did a great job in reading it.
Great comment.
It was a good poem.
Mm-hmm.
And, Lord, what did you think?
Well, I've got to say that I don't believe notes get passed in class very often anymore, and you don't have to read them in public and be subjected to the ridicule. So Before Computers is a broad examination and a funny one of how language has changed over the years, of how every generation has their own slang or their own meanings for words. And I'm sure that if you go back to the 30s and before that to the 80s and before that to the 20s, 1820, there was a whole new set of words coming online that people may or may not have been comfortable with the decline of generation. And as usual, Jevo picks out in our words what is funny. A log-on meant a fire would make. A pop-up meant that dad's awake. We wrote by hand with no emails. And trolls were just fairy tales. Very clever, very skillful, very Jabo.
Well said. Thank you, Mark. And I'd like to welcome Frank to the show. Hello, Frank.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, Frank.
Hello there.
Hello there.
I've been listening there. I have to say the poem, do you want me to comment on this poem?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Yeah, I was listening to what was said, and I agree. This is she's a remarkable writer who implements a lot of good wit. Humor is what I see a lot from her pieces there. And I really do agree with this whole notion of how, you know, we relate to our own generations, you know, although we progress into the future and we adapt. We are still at heart, you know, still belong to our generation. And this poem really brought me that image there. And I really like the whole notion of how she describes the era before technology as we know it now, just how wholesome it was, you know. And I think poetry like this, you know, though it's labeled somewhat with humor, does have a bit of nodding. What I mean by that is to make you remember, you know, when time was before, you know, what we know today, I mean, what we know today with technology, how simplified life was back then, and even how much we enjoyed it even more.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Right, yeah. I agree. Thank you, Frank.
Are you okay?
And Andrew, what did you think?
I thought it was good. I thought the parallels were fantastic. I thought it was funny, satirical, but also very on point. And I thought the irony was fantastic. So it was a good poem.
Awesome comment. Thank you, Andrew. Okay, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please, Frank.
All right. Is this the one by Old Sarge? Shazam, Shazam.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Here he goes. Please move to Mayberry and marry me. Make sweet love under the old oak tree. Or name our sons Goober and Opie. If you just say, okie dokie, we'll get a coon dog and name him Rover. Every Sunday we'll have Sheriff Andy over. We'll move next door to Deputy Fife. We'll have a grand old country life. Refrain. I once had Six City slicker style, but you turned me into Gomer Pyle. Golly, Shazam, Shazam. Oh, I should have loved your man. We'll eat peas, fresh apple pies, swear all the time, surly flies, shelling those green peas by the peck, sitting in the sun, getting an old redneck. We'll raise up six strong, healthy boys by giving them chores instead of fancy toys. We'll have a little girl, maybe two, pretty as a picture, just like you. I mean, serious, I ain't spinning no yarn. Let's get some education out behind the barn. When the kids settle down and out in the light, we'll make hot country love on a cold winter night. We'll move next door to Deputy Five. We'll have a grand old country life. When the kids settle down and out in the light, we'll make hot country love on a cold winter night. End of
them.
That hope. The whole image came up to me of that character there of Gomer Pyle. I think this is what's about, no?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you turned into that Gomer Pyle quite wonderfully.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. But no, it was a fantastic write. You know, I really loved the old show. I can't even remember the name of it now. But where it had Sheriff Andy. Yeah, Gomer Pyle. But no, this was a fantastic ride. It took me down to memory lane all the afternoons I spent watching this on TV. It was a fabulous ride.
Excellent ride. I used to get reruns of that. I mean, who would not see those reruns?
What did you think, Lee?
Well, I think Frank did a fantastic job in reading this. I love this poem from the start to the finish, but I've got to say my favorite stanza was when Frank was reading, I once had city slicker style, but you turned me into Gomer Pyle. Golly, Shazam, Shazam. How I sure do miss you, ma'am.
Oh, God.
This was a fantastic poem.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lee. And Andrew, what did you think?
I thought it was like the last one, of how the times have changed and things that the way things are organized in the 60s and 50s are a little different than how they are now. And like Gomer Pyle and Andy Griffith's show, like, there is a big difference. Like, they're saying, like, you have Chef Andy over and Goober and OP. Like, you just couldn't do the same thing now.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Andrew. And, Lauren, what did you think?
Wow, it was a real hoot. And then my eyebrows nearly knocked my eyeglasses off my face when I heard Frank voice that memorable line that Lou, you just covered. It leads me to certain perhaps unhealthy assumptions about his TV viewing habits over the years. But the Old Star did a wonderful job with this and the persona of someone who may have been a little more sophisticated in the past, but has not given it all up for a coon dog named Rover and Sheriff Andy over for dinner. It is a great combination of a poem and the happy circumstances of the perfect person to read it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lauren. Great comment. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, this was just, well, first of all, I had no idea this was going to be a reference to Gomer Pyle in Mayberry, and so be it the show. But I thought it was a delight. You know, I thought the poem was very creative. I like his I would say his spin on the characters themselves. And of course, there is a sense of realizing, you know, this is a different era. As I said before, the previous poem, there's a different era here, as you mentioned here, one quite wholesome, I would say, in nature. And, you know, when you read these type of things, you know, we could go to a Mayberry, you know, even for a day, you know, for a period of time to escape. But I really like the fact that, and I truly believe perhaps there is still out here in the heartland of America, a place such as this, a Mayberry still, you know. So it really just was a very witty piece. It was a brilliant, brilliant take on the prompt itself. I don't know if it was exclusively, but I think he did it. I think he or she, I'm not sure, but the female or male, did an excellent job with this piece here.
Well, absolutely. Thank you, Frank. Great comment.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, so I've got the next poem up. It's by Naomi Sarah, and she has a sample.
Where has romance gone? I had just started writing. Through my head, my muse was tripping. Oh, she was just baking cookies like crazy, shoveling them out of the oven like it was on fire. And I'm telling you, those cookies were smoking, steaming hot. Yeah, my muse is singing, twirling, swirling. The cookies are flying through my brain, left and right. Hell, she is just dancing topless all over my kitchen countertops. Then, damn it, the darn phone rings and everything just stops. Oh, shit. It's Yellow Mellow Guy. My latest Tinder swiped right while asking myself, oh, hell, why? He had arrived with a drooling smile, half there, half aware, slurred out a slow, yo, hello, winked in a sad attempt to flirt, and shoved into my arms a gigantic bowl of yellow jello, grasping the doorknob so he'd stop swaying to and fro, and shouted out, look, I brought dessert. Now, don't get me wrong, jello's fine, just not ideal to accompany wine. Oh, geez, I'm not asking for no hero, but where has all the romance gone? Where are the men with chocolates, flowers, and beautiful songs? I called his taxi back because, geez, I'm telling you, he wasn't too sexy, and I wasn't that desperate. The phone rings on. Hell, oh, no, oh, no, no, no. I'm not answering it. My muse is running naked out the door. My wonderful lines of poesy, a dead pile laying on the floor, right beside a burnt cookie, and her still jiggling yellow bra.
That was very animated read. She did a fantastic job reading that.
That's another statement.
you can see all this as it happens, you know, when she describes, yeah. I just started writing. Through my head, my muse was tripping, she was baking cookies like crazy, shoveling them out of the oven like it was on fire, and I'm telling you, those cookies were smoking, steaming hot. And then she goes on through the whole read with the muse running crazy in her head, and in the end, you know, she finds herself still giggling, yellow bra. Fantastic write and read. What did you think? Are you back, Lee? Let me see here.
I believe she said yes on the board. Excuse me, on the board.
I don't see her on the phone line. I'd like to welcome Pam to the show. Hello, Pam.
Hi, Gray. Good to be here. Thank you. Are you? I see she said yes, she's back. Are you sure?
Yeah, I
okay.
Checked the studio and I didn't see her so.
Okay. Oh, there she is.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Pam.
Yep. Hi, Lou.
Hi, Pam.
Welcome back, Lou. What did you think of Naomi's write and read?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. That's the first time I read her doing comedy. And let me tell you, there's nothing like baking cookies with a bottle of wine. And your boyfriend bringing over a bowl. I mean, I started laughing. He brought over Jell-O instead of flowers and a gift or something. But it's just, I loved it from the beginning to the end. She did a wonderful job.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Leah. And Andrew, what did you think?
It's insightful, too, with the way the time has changed. It's a good observation. Just in general, how relationships have changed and flirting has changed since the old, I guess, over the generations. Not so much dating anymore.
Yeah. Great comment. Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. And Bart, what did you think?
I enjoyed it thoroughly. And, you know, the readings tonight have all been great, as has the poetry been. Naomi sounded so naturally like someone else. And not herself, that it was a little bit startling. But I enjoyed it absolutely thoroughly. It's true about cookies. When a woman is creating and drinking at the same time, beware, and you'd better be ready and not have to hold on to the doorknob to stop swaying, because that's not what she wants. I mean, is this whiskey dick or not? No, you may leave, and I will not answer the phone. And the bit about right beside a burnt cookie and her still jiggling yellow bra was perfect. Great poem.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you. Thank you, Lauren. That was a great comment. Okay, so, Pam, would you mind reading the next one?
You didn't ask Pam what she thought.
Oh,
I don't know if she heard it.
I didn't know Frank either.
And Frank.
Oh, I thought it was great fun. It would be just like a man to bring over a giant bowl of Jell-O that it's like, it definitely had me smiling and laughing. Very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Frank, what did you think?
Hello, Frank. I'm mute, Frank.
Yeah, because he's still on.
Mute? Come on, old chap.
He might be on mute.
Hello, Frank?
It sounds like he's talking to somebody.
I guess maybe. Pam, would you mind reading for Adekran?
I would be happy to. This is Laughter by Adekaran, and it goes like this. Laughter makes people feel good. Smile is contagious. You feel joyful. Giggling is good, too. The face muscles become active with all these things. Laughter comes from within our soul. People say laughter is the best medicine. Enjoy the laughter without any fear. Laughter gives happiness. Embrace it. Never have any regret in your life. Enjoy each moment of your life. Laughter should not be considered as a disaster. Laughter gives happiness. Laughter keeps me strong and healthy. End poem.
I agree. That was a beautiful read, Pam. And, you know, I agree with all the sentiment of this poem and how laughter keeps me healthy and strong. You know, laughter is a key to a happy day and a happy life. What did you think, Leah?
Well, this is good advice. You know, this is so true. Laughter makes everything better. In fact, they found out that the reason couples stay married longer for 50 years or more, and number one thing they said is the laughter that they that they continue to laugh and make each other laugh. And to me, laughing is the best medicine. I agree with the entire poem.
Thank you, Leah. And Andrew, what did you think?
Well, that is right on point, too. You know the song, Don't Worry, Be Happy? That's what I think of when I heard this.
Right, yeah, I agree. Thank you for that, Andrew. And Laurent, what did you think?
Well, everyone has pretty much said what I, or anyone else might be given to say about laughter. Although, there's one thing. I'm always drawn to people who laugh, who smile, who seem to be filled with a certain bonhomie, a good cheer, if you will. And when you hear that, you're just drawn to it like a magnet. And everything everyone else said about laughter being healthy is absolutely true. People who laugh a lot do live longer. Long live the poem.
Absolutely. Thank you, Laurent. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, I'm going to have to agree. I mean, there is such a beauty about laughter, you know. If we don't laugh, you know, we should smile. You know, there's too much, you know, depressing things in life, you know, to worry about, and so little to laugh and enjoy times. And this poem just made me think about, you know, the most humble thing that we have as a characteristic is to be able to laugh, to be able to express that laughter. And I think that, you know, it's a beautiful thing when you can, you know, laugh, not only, you know, with others, but laugh with yourself at times, of your own self as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the best therapy. I was always told before, is laughter. And I still agree to that, even years after.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you. And Pam, what did you think?
Well, I think everyone really made great comments on this. And I like how you can tell that laughter is an important part of her life and that it doesn't matter to her what other people think of her laughing all the time. She knows that it's good for her. So it's just a wonderful write and very well done.
That was a great comment. Thank you, Pam. And can you bring Bobby on, Pam, please?
Absolutely. There you go. She's
thank
on
you, Pam.
With us.
Yep. Hey, Bobby.
you
hi,
missed
Bobby.
Frank saying golly shazam.
I did, you son of a gun. Can you do it again, Frank?
God.
No, I'm not going to say it again because I'll wake up my dog over here. How did you do it?
One of those best moments of life I'll always regret.
Right. Did you get a chance to hear the last poem, Bobby?
I did not, but the comments, I'm searching for it right now on the chat board. It sounds like it was wonderful.
Yeah, it was, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty good.
Who was it by?
Geez. I can't remember.
A.D. Karan, I think.
I see. I see it. I'll pull that up and read it. It sounds like it was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It was laughter.
Would you mind reading for us, Bobby?
No. What would you like me to read?
It's called True Fighters by Caitlin Asami.
Oh. Asami. Let me see if I can. I've lost my page. Hello. Give me a moment. Let's see. Oh, here we go. True Fighters by Caitlin Asami. True fighters, you were there in my dark hour when all my fears and tears did tower. You promised to help me heal the cracks in my heart that were very real. If you had not been around in my tears, I would have drowned. You were there, you for me and I for you. Our friendship has always been true. When you were pulled to the ground in darkness, fought to keep you down, my friend, I tried your tears to dry. But now, when many a dark shadow seek to wear our world unshowing, untold, both I and you had to make do, pulling, shaking, me and you. We fought to keep our friendship true. And now, we know now that darkness, coldness cannot keep true fighters down. And
that was a beautiful read, Bobby. And I really like the sentiment of this poem. It has all that connection of togetherness and the power of having somebody stand by you and bringing the warrior out in you. I thought it was beautiful. What did you think, Lee?
Well, I do believe that people who have had terrible things happen to them in their lives, that somehow they do find each other. And what I love about this is that even though we know that you're broken, that a friend can put those tears into those cracks and make us feel better, to let us know we're not alone. So, you know, to me, this was uplifting. It was encouraging because for a broken person to hold a broken person, to lift them up just makes them even stronger. They are true fighters, true warriors.
Great comment. Thank you, Leah. And Andrew, what are your thoughts?
I agree with what you said, Louie. I think it's true that we can't do life alone, that even when we try, it's better to be, you know, connected to people. There's no way we can ever, like, make this world a better place.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank
Agreed.
You. And Lauren, what did you think?
This really captures the spirit of a true friend. And it shows the person who suffered the calamity that she may be broken, but only in the moment. But inside there is that which is still resolute, and it can be brought out. And I do believe that sorrow shared is sorrow halved, and it's a much easier weight to bear. Great piece.
Well said. Thank you, Laurent. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
You know, this poem really does bring back, you know, first of all, I agree with everyone. You know, the whole notion of friendship, you know, how many of us can still remain friends with those who are our childhood friends, you know? You know, life takes us to different courses in life. Very few of us ever have a bonding, long, you know, friendship with someone, or with many. And this poem is what Laurent was saying, you know, to bond with, you know, with someone, you know, even if it's in sorrow, you know, someone who can relate to you. And that's the thing that, you know, it's very odd that at times when we realize that that when we actually find someone who can relate to, it happens to be for something, you know, a sorrow, a depression, pain, anguish. And although it's uplifting, it really is something that really is telling at times, you know, when we forget at times, you know, a little bit of our own humanity. But I thought the poem really did bring a very uplifting message, and I really like the whole notion of the poem.
Well said, thank you, Frank. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
I really appreciated how she wrote about the kind of friendship that where two people stick to their side by side and are there for each other through the darkest of times, and I like how it's a nod towards the fighting spirit. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what do you think?
This is eminently relatable and very odd in its timing because I had a very strange event in my life this past week. I had a very close friend kind of fell off the radar screen. I had been in the Marine Corps with her. I was her platoon sergeant. I knew her again when I was an officer, and she was married to someone who was working with my ex-husband. And we kept in touch for a long time. We were very close friends. And then she just kind of fell off the planet. And I tried and tried and tried to get a hold of her and to no avail, and finally just put your hands up and you kind of go, you don't know what's going on in a person's life, but I hope, you know, they're okay. Well, and this is so odd. She found one of my poems on Facebook. She joined AP so she could look for me. I get this text from her, and I go, who the hell is this? And she, I look at her page, no poetry, but I realized who I was. So my response back to her in all capital letters is, where the hell have you been? You know? And I got a letter from her. And she called me and we talked. I haven't spoken or seen this person in almost 20 years. And she
wow.
saw, yeah, yes. And so it's one of those friendships where we started talking and it was like we had never lost track of each other. But it's also was one of those friendships that when she was having marital problems, she decided to separate from her husband. My ex-husband and I, at the time, we said, come on, move in with us. And she was our lodger for months until she finally got her stuff together. Yeah, so I can understand this poem that when someone is going through something, you want to be there for them because that's the real test of friendship.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, true. Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bobby. That was a great comment.
You're welcome.
And Lauren, you're up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay, this is called Natural Gifts. Religiously, she mocked me, pernicious in persistence, an advocate of a curled lip, diabolically insistent, eyes cocked in eyebrow doubt, questioning my veracity. Oh, she cleans and chips away, seeking my incapacity. And when she senses victory, smiling, in a leering sort of way, wields the hammer with relish, sparks flying. She has her say. Little man, whose manhood has shrunk, I assure you the length of your doubt, I will not debunk. You paw at me, so ineffectual. Sex is not made to be intellectual. Grab me, bite me, fool, else I'll believe you are asexual. I need to be ravished by a muscular savage. Call it transformation, a rite of vascular passage. Open my veins, let the blood flow. Remind me, I am a woman. I need to feel emergent, so much more than human. And there the story ends. My patience reached its limits. I bound her up, stuffed in a closet, where she can count the minutes. Will I let her out? Yeah, the possibility exists. If only she could shut her mouth about my natural gifts. End
poem. Wow. That was hilarious. That was great, Lauren. Fabulous job. You know, I really liked it, the way religiously she mocked me, pernicious in her persistence. An advocate of the curled lip, diabolically insistent. You know, you can see all this as it happens, and it's just beautifully crafted, isn't it? Little man whose manhood has shrunk, I assure you, the length of your doubt, I will not debunk. You paw at me, so intellectual, sex is not made to be intellectual. Grab me, bite me, fool, else I'll believe you are asexual. Great line, sir. Excellent, right? Ben, do you have to do
Oh, did you ask me?
Hallelujah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know, this is a satire to me, it's like, it's humorous, but it's got a taste of bitterness in it. You know, because, you know, you could literally see this woman with her lips and her eyes and that, you know, that attitude, like, show me you're a man. But I really cracked up when she, where she says that you don't have to be smart to have sex. You don't have to be an intellectual. And where she says, I need to be ravished by a muscular savage. Call it a transformation, a rite of vascular passage. And then, you know, when somebody wants you to perform, like, perform, you know, maybe you just don't want to do it right then, especially with that type of attitude. And I cracked up when you stuck her in the closet. This was ironic, It was hilarious. I loved it, Laurent.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Great comment, Lou. And Andrew, what did you think?
I loved it. Loved the style. Loved the way the rhymes worked. Loved the way it was read. You know, I like this topic in general. It actually reminds me of that song "Use Me" by Bill Withers. You know that song, you know? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's what it reminds me of. It's a good poem.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, Mr. or Monsieur, I would say, you have certainly brought us a wonderful display of creative wit tonight. I really enjoyed this narrative. I mean, you have an excellence of usage, not only of language, but to use them in the proper form of a metaphor. This poem was very much, it had its central tone, but it also was very comical. And I like that little bit of creativity, the way you bring this in the poem. You bring and describe details there. You describe what's going on, what's unfolding, and then you always seem to, the coup de grace would be the, I would say, the ending. I would say that the way you always express the wit in the end is always masterful. And it's not easy to be consistent like you, to bring wit, you know, from beginning to end and make the poem and not affect the poem at all, regardless of what you're writing.
That's a great comment. Thank you.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Brent. And Pam, what did you think?
I enjoyed this. It's wonderful dark humor all the way through. I do have to agree with Frank that the ending is masterful, with the whole idea of how no matter how much she annoys you, no matter how much she gets on your case for every little thing, you still just might let her out of the closet. This is clever. It's fun. I really enjoyed it. As Lou says, great satire. The whole thing is really awesome, Laurent, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Pam, can I ask you to look for Bobby on the call board again, please?
Absolutely. Let me just jump on over there, and there we go. Welcome back, Bobby.
I was buried under the socks.
Right.
I hope fresh laundry. I know it just kicked me off. It said, "Oh, had the hell with you," and it kicked me off.
What did you
Does
think
me
of
too.
Lawrence Bowen, Bobby?
What's that? Oh, Laurent,
what did you think of
this?
Paul?
Very peculiar relationship. This is a very peculiar relationship. it's interesting. It's what we used to call a love-hate relationship. She hates him and he loves it. Doesn't give him an excuse to throw her in the closet. Well, you never can tell, though. It may be like Br'er Rabbit, who used to tell, "Oh, don't throw me in the briar patch. Please don't throw me in the briar patch." And so he gets thrown in the briar patch, and that's where he wanted to be all along anyway. So maybe she wants to be in the closet. And maybe it's a very large closet, and he's going to join her. So, you know, the possibilities on this are endless. That's why I like it.
Right. Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. Okay, Frank, I've got yours up, if you don't mind.
You don't mind if I change that, because I know this is more of humor, and I'll read the piece. You don't mind if I do that, do you?
No.
If I put a humorous poem, I mean, I think this tonight would probably fit in a little bit to it. So it's on the board. If you can see it in the chat, I put it up there. It's called The Canter of Your Ghost, and it is based on the tale by Oscar Wilde, a little bit of that. So here it goes. It goes like this. I don't know if there's such a thing as the realm of the supernatural, such as rage in reference, in ghastly cause. Perhaps there is or perhaps there is not. Perhaps the supernatural is something uniquely about the soul, which is nothing more than a figment of our imagination. Some say that the dead walk upon this earth in the form of otherworldly spirits traversing doors, as a poor soul but I wonder why they never knock on mine. Could it be that I'm exceedingly boring as a host? Is my presence not exciting enough to invite them to a stirring cocktail party? I could prepare a sumptuous dinner of maggots or intoxicate them with the superb delight of fine Parisian wine. But I must remember that they're already dead, full of maggots and have dried taste buds already. No need for them in the menu, nor a bowl. It would not be wise to give them indigestion and fall into trance in the night with only a sheet covering them. Oh, it would be fun to have these buggers micturate upon the gadflies of Duke so willy-nilly. If only ghosts really do exist in this world, I could offer them a home in my wallpaper, and they could frighten with fret and scare my landlord to reduce my rent. What a diversion I'm partaking if I could bring them all to the theater so they could all bring down the curtain on the door actors of the stage. Perchance, I should do a seance on this night and invoke the phantoms to visit me, even though I run the risk of waking only the spirits of horrible actors of my plays. There is someone knocking on my door, I hear. The counterfeit ghost, my first preternatural visitor. What a pleasant surprise. I greet him. Oh, death must be so beautiful, to lie in the soft brown earth with the grazes waving about one's head and listen to silence, to have no yesterday, no tomorrow, to forget time, to forget life, to be at peace. I must be at the wrong residence. I came here to forget that I'm dead, not to be reminded that I'm a ghost, said the ghost. In the poem.
Wow, that was fantastic, Frank. I really liked your performance on that poem. But, you know, the storyline is captures, engages you, and pulls you through quite beautifully. It's just a fantastic role.
I don't share much humor, I know.
It's a wonderful skit. Fantastically written. Excellent job.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Who did he say?
Blue.
Me? Okay. Oh, I couldn't hear you. Yeah. You know, this was just brilliant, Frank. I really enjoyed the storytelling. I enjoyed the talking to oneself. You know, I wouldn't want any ghosts knocking on my door. And maggots, God, just to see those things on a plate made me think of the Klingons eating all that live crap on their bowl. But what really made me laugh was where you said, where is it? No, let's see. Hold on a second. I can't find it because this is kind of long. But, you know, this was thoroughly enjoyable. I enjoyed it from the beginning to the end. Kind of grossed me out, but that's the whole point, right? You know? This was brilliant. Brilliant.
Oh, I appreciate that. I do apologize for the baggage, but somehow they didn't want to go away. So.
Well said. Thank you, Lee. And Andrew, what did you think?
Oh, I like this poem, too, especially the ironic ending. I thought that was a really good way to end the poem.
Mm-hmm.
Very engaging.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Well said. Thank you. And Lauren, what did you think?
Well, first of all, you do Oscar Wilde so well. To me, this is written very much in his style, and well, in the general romantic Elizabethan style, if you will, but convincingly, so convincingly. I just love some of these lines. Oh, it would be fun to have these boggarts micturate upon the gadflies of dukes so willy-nilly. There is a complexity to the sentence and a demonstration by the poet that he understands perfectly the way writers of the past wrote, and in a strange way managing to say so much more. I mean, this poem is fraught with Gothic humor, and now it's a bit grim in the tooth, so to speak. But those are things that were found to be amusing and are still amusing, but in a rather disgusting sort of way, if you will. But it overall, it just shows a grim genius of what can be funny.
Oh, I appreciate that. I'm certain Oscar would be very fond of that response of yours, because he was known for his satire. Unfortunately, you know, we know about his reputation and all these things, but his satire was what, to me, is what's always drawn me to him.
Satire is almost a lost art. You know, rude mocking, bold-faced jokes, vulgar jokes. Satire is difficult. You do it well.
I would agree with that. No, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Lauren. Great comment. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, this is absolutely wonderful. I do have to agree with Lawrence that satire is a lost art. I think this just has such delightful and intelligent wit to it.
Mm-hmm.
I like how you bring us at the beginning the host who is so full of self-doubt that they think perhaps, just perhaps, all these spirits and dead bodies walking around don't want anything to do with them because, well, they just can't throw a stirring cocktail party. And the end where the ghost says, you know what, I came here to escape the idea that I'm dead, and you just keep reminding me. So I have to say, Frank, as wonderful as I'm sure your romantic piece was, I have no doubt about that, I'm really glad you brought this one out for this show, as it really brought a smile to me. So absolutely wonderful. Very well done.
I appreciate that. And I'll try to do more of these pieces. Yeah.
Ben has to comment, Ben. And thank
awesome.
You, Frank.
Awesome.
Bobby, what did you think?
Where do I begin? It's an intellectual piece. The language and the wordplay. I'm almost said foreplay. The wordplay.
Now you're thinking of chocolate tonight.
I know. But the language, the wordplay in it, the vocabulary. It is a very articulate piece. It has the Gothic flavor to it. It is very much of the acerbic wit of Oscar Wilde, his delightfully acerbic wit. I would call this wonderfully macabre in a lighthearted sense. You just say lighthearted and macabre in the same sentence, sort of like French vodka. It's like, it is a wonderful storytelling piece. It's very engaging, and your reading sounded like you were telling Boris Karloff. So I loved it.
Oh, there we go. Well, if I can say one quick thing, really brief. This poem here also has a reference to people back in those days used to use seances to actually invoke the spirits of the dead. So
there was
a lot of satire being made in those days as well, as when it came to these type of seances, which most of them were frauds. And there was a lot of satire during that time period. So this is why I wanted to add that element there. And believe it or not, in 1950-something, I don't remember the year, they were actually seances, you can look it up, who actually said they invoked the spirit of Oscar Wilde and communicated with him. And that just threw me off a little bit to the storyline here of also his tale there, the Canterbury Ghost. So it's just really, I would say, a mixture of this and that.
Oh, and the Canterville Ghost is one of my absolute favorite classic films with Robert Young and a very young Margaret O'Brien and Charles Laughton. And
yeah.
Peter Lawford before he started shaving.
Yeah, if you get a chance, everyone, get a chance to read that. It's one of his few stories that he actually wrote. It wasn't a play. You know, or a composition on something else of a critique. Get a chance to read that.
Yeah.
It's a humorous tale.
Oh, it's delightful. Well done, Frank.
Absolutely. Thank you, Frank.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Comments, everybody. Pam-Marie, you're up next, please.
All right. This is the antidote, and it goes like this. I love it when we act like clowns. I do not like it when we frown. It is so much fun all around when we fall down, when we fall down. I love it when we act like fools, bending all those insipid rules. When you're a dork, I think you're cool. I laugh and drool, I laugh and drool. Chuckling is the best antidote when you're suffering stomach bloat, or a bullfrog stuck in your throat, or lost your goat, or lost your goat. Giggles are a great expression, releasing all inner tension. It brings us a new dimension of prevention, of prevention. How fun to laugh with silly play in many quirky, clever ways. I love the wit of what you say. It makes my day, it makes my day. Banana peels and rubber snakes, I laugh until my belly shakes. The hooting that is never fake. You take the cake, you take the cake. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And fabulous poem, you know, it's I really like it. It's anecdotal and it's full of wonderful wordplay. I really like the refrain of the last sentence in each stanza as well. When we fall down, when we fall down, I laugh and drool, I laugh and drool. Or you've lost your goat, or lost your goat. The prevention of prevention. It makes my day. You take the cake. Fabulously written, Pam. Excellent writing.
What is that form's name?
Oh, a monotetra.
Monotetra, thank you.
Yep.
Beautifully done, Pam. Lou, what did you think?
Thank you.
Pam, I thought this was brilliant. This is wonderfully and hilariously written. Each stanza has something that I love. Like, there's so many things here, like where you said, when you're acting like fools, I laugh and drool, I laugh and drool. And when you talk about chuckling, and then right here it says, banana peels and rubber snakes, I laugh until my belly shakes. A hooting that is never fake, you take the cake, you take the cake. When you laugh so hard, you know, when you're laughing so hard and you see the person laughing and you can't hear them laughing because they're just laughing so hard, it's just hilarious. And then they snort because, you know, it's that, you know, when you hear somebody laughing so hard and they do that snort, and you can't stop laughing by watching them laughing. That is fantastic. That is the best relationship when you just literally cry in tears. I really love this, Pam. Excellent, Ryan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Liu. And Andrew, what did you think?
I thought it was a wonderful poem, too. Like they say, laughter is the best medicine and humor soothes the soul. This just outlines how it happens and what it's like when it does happen. Very good job, Pam. I loved it.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew. And Lauren, what did you think?
I thought it was a great monotetra, Pam. The form lends itself to a bit of sly humor, allowing timely repetition, which emphasizes the humor itself. And I thought you did that so well. How fun to laugh with silly play in many quirky, clever ways. I love the wit of what you say. It makes my day. It makes my day. I mean, every stanza, that fourth line is handled perfectly all the way through. I really like it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lauren. Great comment. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, I'm going to agree with what's been said here. I've always admired Pam's creative wit. The way she brings in, you know, the wit, but she always has a message to her poems. You know, maybe not all her poems, but I do notice that in her poems they have a bit of a message to it. And I'd like the message to this piece here. You say, I love when we act like clowns, and you go on to the next line, I love it when we act like fools. You know, there is a sense of expression here, which is a natural form of expression, which is very much delightful. I enjoy this type of expression in poetry.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Frank. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Oh, this is delightful. I really enjoyed it is a marvelous Monotetra. I think the subject matter lends itself very readily to that format. And I have to say that just the content of it, as I was listening to it, you know me, I can't hear anything without thinking about a film. It reminded me of the number in Singing in the Rain, Make 'em Laugh, where Dennis Donald O'Connor is doing the whole, and he goes through the wall, and you know, and he's jumping over the sofa, and he's
oh,
wrestling
yes.
with that. Your content made me think of that that broad physical humor that is so engaging and yet so purely innocent in its approach. It's self-deprecating. It's at no one's expense except your own, and I think that is rare. So it really is a beautiful expression of pure joy of fun and laughter.
Absolutely. Thank you
great.
So much, Bobby.
Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. Okay, Bobby, I have you up if you don't mind.
Oh, dear. No. I actually wrote this for a contest that it was a Limerick contest, and the host said, write something funny because COVID has made everybody lose their sense of humor. This is what I came up with. It's called Anatomical Mischief, the Limerick chain. An Arizona gal from Sunrises, whose breasts were of two different sizes, found the one that was tall was of no use at all, but the larger one won several prizes. After trying in vain exercises, even trying to wear some disguises, a pulchritude connoisseur declared he was sure that beauty in the beholder's eyes is. Her life was just full of surprises, as the lads would all seek compromises. When they ask, she'd retort, well, now, I'm a good sport. We'll just talk about whatever arises. Life went on, and she soon realizes there's no edge when your frame harmonizes. So an asset they turned, as her living she earned, with a body that rhapsodizes. And home.
Well, that was a wonderful read, Bob. And I really liked your storyline there, you know. An Arizona girl, from Sunrises, whose breasts were of two different sizes, found the one that was small was of no use at all, but her larger one won several prizes. How beautiful and hilarious is that? Wonderfully done, Bobby. And Lee, what did you think?
Well, like I said, I love Bobby's humor. And I just have to ask her, is that why she's leaning one way on the post?
Right.
She got it.
Yeah, because her
very witty and enjoyable. I loved it, Bobby.
Great comment, Lee. Thank you. And what did you think, Andrew?
I thought it was good. I liked the way the limericks made, you know, the tone humorous.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, Lauren, what did you think?
Well, I chuckled all the way through this because I love limericks, and she does them so well. After trying in vain exercises, even trying to wear some disguises, a pulchritude connoisseur declared he was quite sure that beauty in the beholder's eyes is. This was a clever, funny limerick piece, and with imagery and content that more than met the mark. Great job.
Thank you.
Great comment. Thank you, Lauren. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
No, this poem really made me think of many things. Naturally, it has a sensuality to this poem. We all know that. But it also has a beautiful sense of expression of wit as well. And I think the thing that I will... Oh, Ryan Cowbell. I'll leave it with that. Well, look at your nose at the bottom there. You can see it at the bottom what you wrote. And your nose.
Oh, oh yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay. Right up, cowgirl. Yeah.
And,
there you
Sam,
go.
What did you think?
Well, unfortunately, I didn't get to hear the reading, which I thought was wonderful, but I was getting a chance to read through it. And just on a technical level, spot on, a limerick chain here. I really like the humor in this. The woman who just had two different size breasts and discovered that one was useful and one was not. I like the use of the word the phrase pulchritude connoisseur. That is really great. So an asset they turned as her living she earned with a body that rhapsodizes. Oh, just absolutely wonderful limerick chain and great humor and very well done.
Thank you.
Great comment. Thank you. Yeah. And would you like to say anything about your poem, Bobby?
Like I said, I wrote it because someone was saying, "Hey, let's lighten up. We need some humor out there to go with the COVID to break the tension." And I don't know what caused me. Once the first limerick launched itself, it took on a life of its own. I just had fun with this piece, and I tried to be as bawdy as I could without being tawdry.
Yeah, well, you did a wonderful job, and I thought it was a great poem, excellent read. Okay, so I've
Take
got the next poem left
to go.
Okay, good night, Frank. Have a good night.
Take care.
So I have the next poem up. It's by Blank Slate, and it's titled House of Peace. Cold night, heart racing as I count and realize there's no concept of time. Staring out a window of moonlight, once was forever, and his heart was once mine. End poem. I like it. It makes you think, you know, it's deeper than it seems, that's for sure. You know, somebody in their comments said Chandra Roy said, life is so harsh, there are more sorrows than joys. Girls who are my age enjoying their lives, and here I am becoming suicidal twice a month. You know, so obviously it hit somebody in the marrow there. But I thought it was just well written. What did you think, Leah?
Well, I thought, to me, this was beautifully penned in sadness and its darkness. You know, how many times have we not felt the cold night and our hearts racing and we're thinking about our lives? You know, and it just seems like sometimes time just, either it's going so slow or it's going too fast. And, you know, sometimes we lose our heart, you know, our hopes and our beliefs. When we're in that situation, you know, but hopefully when we wake up the next morning and we don't feel so dark, that life doesn't feel so dark, that maybe there is happiness. There is something to smile about each day. This was beautifully penned, even though it was deeply sad.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Lee. Andrew, what are your thoughts?
I agree with what you said, Liu. Like, there are points in our lives where we do get really depressed and really sad, and mm-hmm. this is definitely like for people in the, who are finding themselves out, teenagers and like adults. You know, it's important that we just learn to like work through those feelings rather than act on them and make them worse.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. Thank you, Andrew. And Lauren, what did you think?
This is a poem whose emotion expresses a certain age, I think. Under the categories are included teen, society, dark life, abstract for the sake of abstraction in this case. It is a transitory emotion, I think, that we all share at a certain age, especially as a teenager. In whatever society we run in school, life can be horrible, but it's only for a little while. I think we all snap out of it, but it rings absolutely true as a poem and a really well-constructed brevity.
Thank you, Lord. Great comment. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I have to say this is a beautiful and haunting brevity about the loneliness of the midnight hours. And staring out a window of moonlight was definitely just a wonderful line, and this was very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what did you think?
This is an intensely powerful brevity. I mean, this is a really powerful piece of writing, and it reminds me of, good heavens, I've lost it. Where is it? Oh, here it is. It reminds me a bit of insomnia, where you're laying there and your heart, you can hear your heart, you can hear your heart in your ears, and the concept of time is really kind of suspended. All you're doing is waiting to slip into sleep and lose consciousness while you're staring out the window. You know that the sunrise is going to come, but you really don't want to be awake for it. It is a very lonely feeling, and that's what I think this poem talks about, feeling very alone and isolated and suspended in time.
Yeah, I agree. A fantastic comment, Bobby. Thank you. Andrew, do you have a piece that you wanted to put up?
I can find one.
Sure, if you wouldn't mind.
Go pick somebody else before me. I'll send it in after that.
Okay, sounds good. I'm going to play SoundCloud by Martha Gettle. And then post it to the group. There we go. All right, SoundCloud. Here we go.
Everything Fades by Martha Gettle. I thought that you would always be mine, that your love wouldn't fade in the wash of time, that I would never have to look for someone new, that for me there would always be you. But now I can see how wrong I was, as I watch time wash away your love. Now I know that it's true, time changes everything, no matter what you do. Yes, everything changes, it's true, and love can be so hard to hold on to. Everything fades into the black, and you can't hold the future back. Love can change, you know, and it doesn't always grow. Sometimes love fades away, and all you have left is yesterday. Yes, everything changes, it's true. Love can be so hard to hold on to. Everything fades into the black, and you can't hold the future back. And though I held on as tight as I could, and though I truly believed it never would, Today I watched you walk away, and I saw our love fade.
Well, she did a beautiful job singing that, and you know, the pain is palpable in this poem of losing a love as time bleaches it away, and things fade and disappear, and I thought it was just haunting at the end. What did you think, Leah?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Hello? Okay. You know, what I like about Martha's song lyrics, you know, they're like ballads. You know, you know, the country songs that break your heart. You know, because these are things that happen to people and people's relationships every day. Especially when I heard her singing, it says, love can change, you know, and it doesn't always grow. Sometime love fades away, and all you have left is yesterday. And those are those memories that just really tear us apart and make us not be able to sleep at night, or be driving in a car and you hear a love song and then you just bust out in tears, you know, because that was your favorite song y'all would sing together in the car. You know, this is very relatable. Beautifully written, even though it's very sad.
Absolutely, yeah, I agree. Thank you, Leah. And Andrew, what are your thoughts?
I thought it was a good poem and a good song, but like you can feel it, you can sense the sadness in there, the brevity, all of that, and it made a very haunting poem too.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you, Andrew. And Lauren, what are your thoughts?
I think that once again, Martha demonstrated her capability at voicing plain, homespun, basic images, emotions. Emotions that are so true in all of us. She does a very good job at that. Appreciated the piece.
Well said. Thank you, Lauren. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
I thought this was absolutely beautiful. I like how she writes the song about those memories that bring back the heartache, the yesterdays that have and the emotions that have faded away and will never be what they once were. A wonderful write and very well done.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I'm always I marvel at Martha. She has such a facility to evoke such deep emotion with such a simple mm-hmm. Words, but the combination of them is so profound, and she does it poem after poem after poem. It is just amazing how she can plumb the depths of human emotion and come up with such insight, and this piece is no exception. It speaks of pain, and it speaks with eloquence.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, Andrew, if you wouldn't mind reading your poem, that would be great.
Okay, here's my poem. It's called Turn to Dust. Started with the quote by Rabindranath Tagore, if you cry before because the sun has gone out of your life, your tears will prevent you from seeing the stars. Now here's the actual poem itself. Consider the watercolor sky, on fire with the light of distant stars. Mighty and glowing are they, with inspiration getting brighter, as time passes, growing younger, as the sun sets in the west, and its tapestry shines best from the corners of the eye. Lamps of the soul, lamps that are souls, lamps that are incomplete, lamps waiting to become whole. The purpose for existence is indescribable, as unique to the individual as it is survivable. The quest for hope is often seasons away, the wind blowing in heaven's wake. Why must we wait for meaning to approach us? Must the search for answers always be painful? Yes, I suppose it must, because life is recovery, growth the product of trust with our maker, before our spirits melt like ice and our memories turn to dust in poem.
Beautiful read, Andrew. And a fantastic, you know, thoughtful, meaningful, right, on the subject of living life itself and the beauty and the darkness within that. I thought it was beautifully done. Excellent, right? Excellent read.
Thank you for letting me share it.
Sorry?
I said thank you for letting me share it.
Oh, absolutely. No, I appreciate you. And yeah. Lee, what did you think?
Andrew, you know, to me this was uplifting as it was beautiful. You know, where you talk about our lives, you know, I really like how you brought this out, that, you know, that no matter how far the distance the stars are, they're always growing brighter. You know, things can be so far away, and, you know, we may not get the answer right away or the answer we want, you know, before the sun sets, but, you know, it just depends on how you take it. And, you know, and when we're searching for answers, they are sometimes painful. But pain can be used in a way that can reset us, you know, something painful, you know, because usually, you know, we've always heard this, you know, when you're going to get a spanking, it's of course it hurts. But what you don't realize until you become an adult and a parent, that you realize that it hurts the parent just as much as it does the child to correct the action. And so, you know, with this, if it's done with love, pain, we can learn to change. We can learn to adjust, like you said here, because life is recovery. Beautifully done, Andrew.
Thank you.
Fantastic comment. Fantastic comment, Lee. And Lauren, what did you think?
The purpose for existence is indescribable, as unique to the individual as it is survivable. The quest for hope is often seasons away, the wind blowing in heaven's wake. The meaning of life, perhaps the worthiest of pursuits, so well voiced in this poem. It's a stunning piece, my friend. I really needed the uplifting, I think, Lou, you used that word. I needed the uplifting. Well done.
Perfect comment. Thank you, Lauren. And Pam, what did you think?
I really thought this was a beautiful and thoughtful write. I like how you give us the message of how, you know, looking for that purpose in life, looking for, you know, the looking at the bright side of things. But in a way that's, you know, somber and accepting, in that life doesn't always go how we expect it to. Really just wonderful imagery throughout and very well done.
That was a great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what did you think?
I thought it was a very profound piece. A lot of philosophy involved here, very transcendental, and the way he has interpreted the prompt, if you cry because the sun has gone out of your life, your tears will prevent you from seeing the stars, beautifully examined here. And basically, you know, if you let the sorrow or the misfortune in your life overpower the way you look at life, you're not going to see, you're not going to, it says life is recovery, you're not going to see the goodness, the opportunities, the things that come in your way that are very positive experiences. It says, why must we wait for meaning to approach us? That question right there, I think he could write a whole nother piece on that. Because it is such a profound question. But the piece itself is, I think, is very insightful.
Thank you so much.
Great comment. Would you like to say anything about your poem?
Well,
Andrew?
This poem is special. Like, I actually recently bought a book written by the author who made this work poem. I mean, who made the quote, and he was very insightful too. But I think it's important too because, like, I was going through a hard time a couple of years ago, and I almost gave up writing poetry forever. And I didn't write anything for like 2-3 years until like the urge came back. But like when life rocks you, you have to work through it, and that's all the only all I can mm-hmm. say.
Yeah, absolutely.
So true.
Yeah. Okay, do you have the next poem up if you wouldn't mind, please?
Okay. An Alternate View by Will Rout. I thought I'd take a walk to town along the avenue. My limit is 5Ks, and so I Googled it and knew. See, COVID cops are everywhere to clap you with a fine. That's when I thought, before I go, I'd better take the time. The time to find that blasted mask, my mutt rag, as I say. Where could it be? Where could it be? Where could it be today? I searched on high, I searched down low, but nowhere could I see that blasted muckrack has escaped onto eternity. I'll have to buy another one, but they're at the store. So how am I to get there past the COVID cops galore? I tried a baklava, but the thing was so damn hot, then pulled on my wife's pantyhose, but nearly got a clot. I searched on high, I searched on low, my ideas running out. That's when I thought, I've got a plan to sort without a doubt. I went into the bedroom and I grabbed a brassiere. I'm glad my wife's a D cup, so I fit my mug in there. I grabbed a not-so-lacy bra that wasn't white but black. I cut it in the middle, then rigged a center strap. I must admit, where there's a will, there's certainly a way. Because now I got 2 masks in black. Hip, 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 hooray. Of course, then there's a plastic shield I never thought I'd need. Well, bugger me. I can't find that. Oh, God, please hear me bleed. I only want to take a walk upon the avenue. Please, God, please help me find another way to see this through. Like a bolt of lightning striking my mind so bare, I ventured into my son's room where he kept his stuff down there. And there upon the mantel sat my answer to my prayer, a snorkel and some goggles. It's amongst his underwear. I grabbed my bra, and it smelt fine, and donned my goggles too, and walked along the avenue with an alternate view. End poem.
I loved it. The, you know, the traumas and dramas of daily life in COVID times is pretty hard-hitting in this poem. I like the whole clothing play throughout the thing, and I thought it was just wonderfully done. Excellent read, Lee. What did you think, Andrew?
I honestly didn't fully get the poem. I'm still processing.
Okay.
All right, do you want us to come back to you?
Yeah, can you come back to me, please? Sorry.
No, that's okay. Lauren, what did you think?
I think it looks like Lauren had to go.
Oh, shoot.
Yep.
Okay, good night, Lauren. And thank you, Pam. Pam, what did you think?
Oh, I enjoy this. Wonderful humor. I like how it has a kind of humor of making the best of a bad situation. and wonderfully clever all the way through. I really like, I'm glad my wife's a double D, so I fit my mug in there.
And especially what added to this was how well Lou read it with the dramatics with, well, bugger me, I can't find that. Oh, God, please hear my plead. It was just really fun all the way through and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. It was a great comment. And Bobby, what did you think?
This was very clever. This was great storytelling, very engaging, a lot of visual imagery. I mean, this is definitely a word picture, very imaginative. It almost sounds like it was the voice of experience. It was told with such detail. But it is a great casting of humor upon what has been for the last couple of years a very grim situation. So here's someone making they're looking for the pony in the pile of manure, and by gosh, she found it.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Bobby. Andrea, are you ready to comment?
Yeah, I thought it was really funny. I like how he turned a negative situation to a positive one.
Mm-hmm. Right. And he did do that. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
You know, this is what life is. How many times you usually don't wear your mask when you're coming out of your home or you sit in your car. You know, you don't need to wear a mask. But the minute you get out of your car and try to go in somewhere, and then you see all those signs everywhere, you have to have a mask to enter. You know, and then you have to walk back to your car, open it up, get your mask. You know, it's just the trials of COVID. And for, you know, him to use his, I'm surprised he could breathe out of that bra, but that goggle thing just cracked me up. You know, when you want to do something, you will, no matter what it is, you will find a way. And I thought this was hilarious and great storytelling.
Great comment, Lou. Thank you. Okay, well, we've only got less than 3 minutes now, so I don't think I'm going to read another poem. So I'd like to thank you all for calling in to share your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time. Great hearing from you again, Andrew. It's been a while, and it's good to see you.
Yeah.
Have a great night,
everyone. Glad to have you back.
Glad to be back.
Good night
everybody.
Bye, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Joe, what
good night, everybody. Thank you for calling. Love you guys. Thank you for laughing with us. Besitos.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh.